Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 433. We up to the second film in the Chronicle of the Riddick franchise. We're up to Chronicles of Riddick from 2004. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So did you see this in the theater?
Yes, I did see this one at the theater. I remember when it came out, I went with one of my cousins who was like a big Vin Diesel fan. For some reason, just loved Vin Diesel. I was like, oh, that new Chronicles movie, it looks so awesome. Let's go see it. I was like, all right, we'll go see it. What year was this? What year did this come out?
2004.
I was 17. So I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever. Chronicles of Riddick. Let's do it. I saw it at the theater and I might have watched it one time at home. But I'm being honest with you, Alex, when I watched it for this, I didn't remember any of this. So I don't think I ever watched it again after the theater. That might have been the only time I thought I saw it more, but I did not, because this was like a brand new movie pretty much. I mean, maybe it's because it was a director's cut, but I don't think so. I think I didn't remember any of this, like only a little bit, like Carl Urban, like how he looks.
Yeah.
And Judi Dench, like floating around. I remember that. And that's it. Everything else was like, okay, this is new, brand new to me.
Well, guess what? It was brand new to me. Okay,
you've never seen it.
I never seen this movie. So I sat down, I popped it on with my wife, which she saw it. So okay. I was just like, okay. And I can't wait to talk about this movie.
Did she like this movie before you watched it?
She said she wasn't a fan of it.
Okay.
Certain things about it she didn't like, but rewatching it,
yeah,
she now understood why she never went back to watching ever again.
So she wasn't a big fan.
She wasn't a big fan of it. Okay. No. But she does get excited. Like, she's really looking forward to the brand new one, which they released. I think, supposedly they released photos.
Yeah, I think they're working on it currently.
Yeah.
It's like Riddick Furiosa or something. Furiosa. Something like that.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's talk about financials here, because I never seen this flop before. And you're going to laugh.
Weird.
The budget is $105 million. Worldwide, it made $115 million. It only grossed $10 million.
Like, right. Now, I will say, because I did some research. Truth be told, for all the listeners, we didn't record the other week, but I had done some research back when I watched this the other week. And let me see if I remember correctly. I don't know if you have like the Wikipedia page up for it or anything, but this thing did insane numbers on DVD. Like, it sold like a million copies in the first day, which back then, let's say $20, right? Because DVD was like, there was no Blu-ray yet. That's $20 million in the first day. It was in the Wikipedia article. So if you go to like home release or whatever. So I think, because look, this has another movie and they're making another one. So for it to not do good at the box office, but then still make it into a franchise, I think the home video for it did crazy good. The unrated director's cut DVD, which were cut in order to obtain the PG-13 version, was released on November 16th, 2004 and sold 1.5 million copies in the first day.
Yes. Okay. I'm looking at it here. Yes. Yep. Right here. Yeah.
So that had to be why this was a sequel. Because if you had a budget of 105 and you made 115, it means you didn't make anything. You know, you lost, because marketing was probably different back then. But to circle back, you remember Pitch Black had a lower budget and made money. It was like a little, you know, like a kind of a little moderate success. So for this one, they gave the director a way more budget. He had a bigger idea. Universal was like, we love Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious. We want him to have another franchise. This is the one. Here's 105. And he made this. And while it made 115, that's not enough. But the unrated DVD did crazy.
Well, the crazy thing is I'm just going to read a little bit more into this thing. Yeah. So now this is from the Wikipedia, The Chronicles of Riddick, 2004. It says there were three versions of the film. The theatrical cut, which was the PG-13. The director's cut, which is the unrated. Both are available on DVD. And the third version, a mix of the two assembled for television viewing, which has some but not all of the added footage from the director's cut. For instance, the minor subplot in the director's cut of Riddick's vision, as well as his moments with Toom's second in command, are both absent. But in the ending from the director's cut is present. So yeah, so it, they so wow, the DVD has three versions of the film.
Yes. Yeah. So and a lot of people bought it.
Yes, and a lot of people brought it. So all right, so we got the financials here. You guys got it from Wikipedia. So what did the audience and critics have to say about this movie?
Well, not great. Well, the audience score is not like the worst. I'll start there. Audience score is only down 12% from the first movie, so not a huge drop. It's still a 65 this actually has a fresh score with audience, 65. Critics, though, it took a little bit of a tumble, 31% down. This has a 28% critically. Mm. So critics did not enjoy as much as Pitch Black. Audiences also didn't enjoy it as much, but they were less harsh. Like, this movie has some fans. I don't know who they are, but it has some fans.
I mean, that's a lot of fans.
65% is not bad.
And no, it's not bad, but the movie still bombed, like, in the box office, which is, I mean,
maybe they saw that unrated DVD and they were like, this movie's great.
This is amazing. I should have saw it on the theater watch.
Unrated.
I guess maybe. All right, well, let's talk about it because I really want to talk about this movie because it's very interesting. Yeah. All right, so Vin Diesel's back.
Yep.
As your boy
Richard B. Riddick. Richard B. Riddick. I can't believe that's his name. Yeah. Richard. I don't even know what the B stands for, but his name is Richard B. Riddick. Richard Beatrice Riddick. Richard Bin Riddick. All right. I think I gave him a 4 in the first movie, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
I didn't like him as much in this movie. I don't know why. He's similar, but like, I feel like in the first one, he was like, you didn't know if he was bad or good. He was kind of the reluctant hero. And then he turns around and he ends up, you know, doing the heroic thing. And I liked that. Here, we know now we're following him as the hero character. So that mystique is kind of gone from him. And so now we're just dealing with, like, I don't know, let's say like Wolverine, right? Where he's like, not an anti-hero, but he don't care. He does what he wants and he's tough. But I don't know. I feel like his dialogue in this movie is not that good. He doesn't. The only parts that were interesting was when he finds the girl again, that the one that pretended to be a boy in the first one. Now she's hot in this movie.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was a different actress. So yeah, she was super hot in this movie. And like their kind of banter, like how she's kind of mad that he ditched her. But the reason he ditched her was to, you know, help her and all that kind of stuff. I like that. The problem is, like, that's like only in the middle of the movie, and it doesn't happen none in the beginning, and it doesn't happen no more at the end, right? So I don't know. I gave him a 3 in this one. I think he's like a decent enough like lead character to follow, but they didn't really add too much, so I minus the point because they didn't really like build on the. Oh, they did a little bit. Like at the end, he becomes like the king of the necro creatures or whatever. He's sitting on
necromongers.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, that like that's cool, but why is that the very end? Like that should have happened maybe earlier and then show what happened after. But nope, he sits there and then the movie's over. So I don't know. I gave him a 3. I thought he was fine. I liked him better in Pitch Black.
Yeah. So her name is Kira.
Kira was kind of bad.
His full name is Richard Bruno Riddick.
I don't like that.
I like Beatrice. Beatrice is better. I like Beatrice. I like that name way better. Bruno, I don't know, whatever. I guess if he's Spanish, it would have been Bruto.
Yeah. Or that's Encanto. Encanto. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk. That's why his name is just B. Because they don't talk about
it. Call him B. All right. I agree with you. I gave him a 3. I didn't like him in this movie as much. I thought he was good, but you're right. His character didn't get better, like, at all. I felt like he downgraded more than upgraded. You're right. He doesn't talk as much. He's always angry. He's more angry in this movie than before.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah, he's always angry. The girl, Kira, I was very confused with that subplot or whatever you want to call it, because that was like a 360 to me. Like, you're right. She was bald, looked like different, but then all of a sudden she's like a GQ model.
Right.
And she was like in love with him, but now she has these cool powers. Like she could fight and do all these things. And I was just like, this is such a weird movie from point A to point B. Right. But yeah, Riddick's, I was a little let down and disappointed because like, I wanted to see more of his. I will say this, and maybe you agree with me. His vision got better in this movie. Like whatever they did with the CGI looked way better than that white stuff that we saw in the first movie, like the low budget white vision.
Yeah.
So I will say that like he did get better in that front. But other than that, I didn't like enjoy the character as much. I thought he would be more sarcastic because he was sarcastic in the first movie. I thought he was going to be like an anti-hero. He wasn't an anti-hero in this one. He was just a normal action hero guy. Like,
yeah, he didn't have more like one-liners or anything.
No. And like, that's pretty much it. Like, I can't even talk more about it because honestly, like he didn't do anything for me to go, wow.
Yeah.
They did some cool imagery with him in the room and he takes off the thing and he blows the candle. And I was like, yo, this shit is dope. Yeah. But they didn't even utilize that at all. Right. It was kind of weak. They did have some, well, that's action. So I'll leave it for that. But yeah, I agree. I gave it a 3. You gave it a 3. Okay. Now the main villain,
Lord something,
Marshall.
Lord Marshall.
Marshall, yeah. Lord Marshall, yeah.
Okay. I like the actor. Calum Fiore plays the Cool mm-hmm. actor. He's good. He's like one of those character actors. Like, he's been in a bunch of things. Like, oh, okay, he's good. And Carl Urban is like a sub-villain. And Tandy Newton. Yes. And they're like a couple who wants to, like, overthrow him to take over the necro creatures. And be necromongers, whatever.
Yeah,
necromancers. And they want to take over. So they're like, you know, they're plotting the whole movie. And then you have the necromongers who are like, you know, they're like the fodder. I gave it a 2. I think this guy is, I don't really know what he's doing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what he's doing the whole movie. And this has to do with the storyline, and it will affect that score as well. I didn't know what was going on most of the time with the villains. I'm like, okay, they go to planets and like, suck the soul out of it or something, then go to the next one. They try to create all this lore in like the first 15 minutes, and it is just gobbledygook to me. I don't know what's going on. This guy hates Riddick. He's been looking for Riddick his whole life because he was like Harry Potter. He was like a little baby and he was supposed to kill him. He escaped. So this guy's like Voldemort and Riddick is like Harry Potter. And he's like, this is the one that got away. It's the prophecy. He's gonna be the one to do it. It literally has that. I wonder if they, like, David Twohy read Harry Potter and was like, you know what? I'm going to take some from that. Because that's what it reminded me of, except confusing. I don't think he's that memorable. I think Carl Urban looks cool in this movie. I like the, like, the slick hair and, like, the eyeliner kind of. I like the way they look. But Riddick tears through these guys like a hot knife through butter. They're not that formidable. They fight at the end. He beats them. And then he becomes the king. So I gave him a 2. I don't think it's the worst. Like, it's not, like comically bad.
Yeah.
But it's not good. So, and then you have, like, when they're in the jail. They have like all those guys that are like those villains, and the guy who's always trying to catch him, and he's always getting like outsmarted first in the ship, then in the jail. And I'm like, it's just like a filler. It was like a lot of filler people who are just there to like get in the way, but not really stop him from doing it.
Okay. Uh-oh. I gave it a 1.
I knew it. I saw it.
Yeah. You hit it on the head. I did not know what the hell this villain was about. And you know what's funny? This plot of this movie, which I know it goes down the storyline, but it comes with the villains too.
Yeah.
It felt, you said it right. It's very Harry Potter, but the thing is, it's very generic, and it felt very Star Wars, right? Like they suck the resources and try to kill all the humans of the universe. That's pretty much that they're trying to do. They go to universe, try to kill everybody off. Very like Star Trek-y too. Like, and I'm be honest, there's better movies and series that did it better than this movie because it was all over the place. It was so many subplots in it, so much. But again, that falls under the storytelling. But in terms of the character, this Lord Marshall, right, has the power to become a human and manifest into a ghost at times, and he could put his hand through and phase and take your heart
and like suck their soul out. Yeah,
suck souls and. Yeah. Honestly, it looks cool on paper, but the execution sucks ass because I'm like, this character is not good. Kurt Urban's character, I liked him, but again, he needed Riddick to get to kill his father, whoever the hell he was. I do not like the chick actress.
Oh, Tandy Newton?
Yeah, I'm not. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
Just don't like her. Like, I'm just not a fan of her. Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, I felt the same way when I saw her in Solo and I saw her in Mission Impossible 2. Mm-hmm. And I'm not too crazy about her. But in this movie, she's just useless. Very useless character. The villains were all useless. Even the army.
Yeah, he's a one-man wrecking crew. He like doesn't even have help. He does everything by himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The army sucks. So to be really honest with you, I was very disappointed. For a sequel that you're thinking more money, more stuff, I feel like it's like that damn Jay-Z song, more money, more problems, or Biggie, whoever the hell says it. Yeah, Biggie says it. More money, more problems, because geez, I was just like, man, I never seen a sequel that fell so hard from the first movie.
No, you said it right the first time. This movie definitely has more money, more stuff. It's got a lot of stuff.
More money.
Let me tell you, there's a ton of stuff in this movie. A lot of stuff.
Is yeah, no, I, yeah.
No, nope, but it's stuff.
No, you're right. I mean, you gave it a 2. I gave it a 1. Action scenes.
Okay, guess what? This movie has way more action than the first movie. This is a like an action movie more than Pitch Black. Pitchfork has some action. This has a lot. Here's my problem with it. Let me give you my score. I gave it a three. A lot of it, I think it's filmed well. Like, I think, you know, it looks fine, but I don't know if it was just me or if you'll agree, but it was so repetitive. I feel like I watched the same action scene 11 times, just like the background was different. Like, when they're in the jail, then they're outside the jail in the rocks, then they're in the castle, then they're in the apartment or wherever the house is, wherever they were at the beginning. Then they're in the, and you know, he tried, like you said, the candle scene. He did try to do some stuff. And that's why I gave it a three and not lower, because it looks mostly good. I just found myself by the end being bored during the action scenes, which is not really what you want. But I'll give it credit for the most part, looking good and having a lot. Like, there is a lot. There's a lot of action in this. Like, it's, if you were disappointed with Pitch Black, this one is like, okay, at least this has a lot of action. But it's just kind of repetitive for me. So I gave it a three.
All right, so you're going to be the nice one in this review. Ooh. Because honestly, I gave it a two. Okay. You said everything. It is very repetitive, very CGI heavy. Scenes that were, I personally believe I would have cut out in the editing room that did not need to be in it. Like the scene that they're going through the, whatever, on top of the Mars and they're trying to run away from
the sun or whatever. That's, yeah, like, burn
and
it is,
yeah, they exploding. And then he did this stupid thing with the water. And then he did a rope move and took her. And you see, now you know what I'm talking about, because that looks so stupid. Yeah. And he had the sunglasses on. And I was just like, this is really horrible. Yeah. Like, really, really horrible. No memorable fighting. Like, honestly, Pitch Black didn't have much either. But that's saying much, right? Like, even like you see the sequel, there's not much. Like I said, the best part of the movie, to be really honest with you, is when they go to that, to Keith Davis's house.
Yeah.
And they're trying to confront him and he turns off all the lights and you can see his vision and he's punching dudes out. Like, that's the best part to me. The ending fight between him and Lord Marshall was kind of whack. It was really whack. Like, it was not good at all. Like, I did not enjoy it. I didn't like it. I was just like, this is like, I felt like they put so much eggs in the CGI. Like, we got to make this thing look so much good and forgot about the damn plot of the movie and try to make it good. I didn't like it. I wasn't entertained by the action as much. They had some cool parts. Actually, I'm not going to lie. I did like the prison with Kira when she fought the dude. I thought that was really good. And I was like, man, they should do more Kira and Vin Diesel's character and Riddick together. But then they kill her off.
And this was pretty violent. For like this director's cut is like, it's R.
Yes.
They capitalized.
No, they did. And again, I give it kudos for that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's just like, it didn't do nothing fresh with the R-rated stuff. Yeah. Like, especially like the bad guy that you thought he was going to fight him in the ship, and then the flames are going, and all of a sudden he was like, he walks into the flames. Like, me and my wife looked at each other like, what the hell is this? And he just was like, and he just died. And I was just like, what a waste of scene. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like that was just a waste. And then, I don't know. I just felt like the movie, action-wise, didn't do nothing for me. As a sequel at 105 budget.
And 2 hours long, like 2 hours plus.
2 hours plus long. I felt like we saw better movies with that time frame and that budget. I mean, Ninja Assassins have better fighting.
I still remember them. We watched that weeks ago, a month ago. I don't even remember.
Fighting in the shadows. I love that. And then the stupid 3,000 ninja swords coming at you. Ninja stars. Yeah, they're coming at you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, in this one, I think it felt very flat. So two for me, three for you. Okay, storyline.
Okay, I'll probably, seeing where this is going, I'll probably be the nice one again. But I'm going to tell you why. I did not give it a one. I gave it a two. Way more. Two. But I'm going to tell you why. Because I do actually respect the attempt to make a bigger kind of movie, right? Like, you're right. This is trying to be Star Wars, Star Trek, those space opera type movies with traveling to planets. And, you know, it is. And this was Universal trying to do that. I respect the attempt. And there's some stuff that's cool, but for the most part, I didn't know what was going on most of the time. And that's why it was bad. It's very convoluted. It's very confusing. About 30 minutes in, you won't even remember what's going on at all. Like, I still don't know what Judi Dench was doing. I don't know. She's like, she can like turn into dust and like teleport? She's a elemental or something?
Yeah, she's an elemental ghost.
But why? Yeah. What do they do? Where's the other ones? Where do they come from? So like he built out like a world, but it was like not finished. That's kind of how I felt about it. It seemed like if he was building Legos and it was 1,000 pieces, he only used 800 and said, I'm done. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done. I don't need those other 200. This is good enough. So that's kind of how it felt. So A for effort, honestly, that's the only reason I'm going to give it a 2. It's mostly junk, to be honest with you. It's mostly junk. And I'm like, there's no way I liked this when I was 17. I don't remember if I did, but there's no way I did because I never watched it again. Because I was like, and I watched the PG-13 version back then. I don't think the director's cut helped. If anything, it might have made it worse because it's longer. It might be better as the theatrical cut.
You know, it's funny. You saw both versions, both cuts. I don't know. You don't remember the first cut, but you saw both cuts. I never did. So I saw this is the first time you're watching it. And I think I might agree with you. I think I might enjoy more the theatrical cut over because there's scenes here that most likely was the add-ons that did not, I not enjoy. But okay, look, in terms of storyline, I gave it a 2. I agree with you. I gave it kudos to try to be an original piece of property.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it fell flat.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. There's so many ways he could have went with the story. I kind of enjoyed the Riddick getting hunted down by the bounty hunters going to planets, and then he has to get out of that planet. You know what I mean? Like he stumbled upon people that he's like, oh shit, I got to work with to get out, or, you know, whatever. I enjoy that type of storyline. It was kind of unique and different. This, and honestly, I'm going to be really honest with you, watching Pitch Black and this right behind each other, like a few days later, but I watched it like a week later, but it's totally two different movies.
Yeah, from they're not Pitch similar Black, at all.
No, it's not. And even the story doesn't even continue. You're very right. Convoluted. Absolutely. The Iman Keith Davis character, did not know what the hell we were going with that character. Kira's character, I did not know what happened with that character. You're right. The movie starts and I was a little bit intrigued because I was like, wow, you can see the budget. You know, the 4K did this justice because it looked really good. But then, like, I mean, I will say, you said 30 minutes, but I'll say even less. It was more than like 15 to 20 minutes in and I got lost.
You were like,
Got into the apartment, I was like, what are we doing here? I was like, who is the ship above the town? Like, I started to do questions like 10 minutes in or 15 minutes. And I was just like, man, this is not entertaining. But by the end of it, I don't know what the hell I watched. And that's, and I'm a bit, and honestly, and that's not even sure to be even funny. I was just like, when I wrote down my scores, I was just like, I didn't want it to be this type of scoring. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, this movie didn't make me want to give it higher scores. It was just really out there. And I did not even, I'm going to be honest. I did not enjoy this movie. I enjoyed Pitch Black more and I didn't give it much a score, but at least I could watch that one more than this one. This one was just such a blah movie. This reminded me of, oh man, I know you're going to laugh, but this reminded me of Mummy 3.
Oh, the chocolate mummies, baby.
Chocolate mummies, but at least we enjoy chocolate mummies over than this one. Like, the story of that
Mummy
one was
Mummy 3 is better than Chronicles of Riddick.
It's hands down.
I don't even love Mummy 2, if you remember. That's the one that I called watchable crap. But they're both better than Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like Mummy 2, but Mummy 3, I gotta say, this is more comparison to that one. Because it was just like, you're just like, what? But I just didn't. Okay, so 2 across the board there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with all the listeners out there. Mm-mm. I give this movie a 2. While I was watching it, there was pops of entertainment. And so, you know, for me to give a 1, I have to like hate it. Like, I can't say I hated this, but I didn't like it. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you. I did not like this movie. Was there moments where I was like, that's cool. That's cool. Yes. You know, there were certain ideas that I thought were neat. It does look good. Like, I think it's well directed. I don't think it's well written, but I think it's well directed. So on a technical level, there's quality to it that I liked. And that's the reason it gets a 2. But I'm gonna be honest with you, as soon as this was over, I actually got rid of this movie. I don't even know anymore. I bought the 4K when it came out because I knew we were doing this. And I already had Pitch Black and I do remember Riddick. So this one was like, well, you know what? Let me just get it. And I traded it in. I don't have it anymore. So it's one that I'll never watch again. I actually have the theatrical cut digitally. Mm. So if for any reason I need to, I'll watch that one. But I can't imagine I mean, unless I'm like dating someone and they're like, I love Vin Diesel. You want to watch Chronicles of Riddick? I'll be like, I got it on Vudu. I got it on Vudu. They're like, do you have it in your library? No, but we can watch it on Vudu because I traded it in. So not a movie I'll ever plan to watch again. But you know what? It was crap. It was crap. It's confusing. It's crap.
Okay. So normally I bet a lot of people expect me to hit it with the one. I'm not going to give it the one. I gave it a 2 for a decent film. I enjoyed some of the aspects of the movie. Like, I do enjoy the character Riddick. I did enjoy some of the gimmicky stuff. I did enjoy. I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy the eye vision in the dark. Yeah. You know, so I did get suckered with the flames at first when I was like, oh my God, I got to outrun this. But then it just got too comical throughout the movie because they just kept replaying the same thing. So I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. But at the end of the day, I just did not like it. You're right. Judi Dench plays a ghost creature that we only see one of.
Right.
Right. So you're right with that one.
And they never really explain her.
No, they don't. Keith David's Imond character gets killed off really quick, really stupid too. Then he has a kid and all this stuff. But I don't know. I just felt like this movie, you're right, it's just convoluted. It didn't work for me. And I will love to get rid of this movie in 4K. Like, I know I have the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I suckered myself and got the 4K of it because I was just like, you know what? You said bigger budget. So I was like, man, it looked better. It does look great.
The 4K looked good.
Yeah. But no, it has to go back. But it's
a
doo-doo,
you know, you can only polish a turd so much. You know what I mean? Like, if a dog takes a crap and you take a photo of it with a Polaroid camera, but then you take a photo of it with your iPhone in, like, portrait mode, it'll look better, but it's still a pile of crap, right? So that's pretty much this. That's the 4K of Chronicles of Riddick.
I agree. I totally agree. I did not like this. And I look, again, and I bet there's people listening to this podcast that are fans of this movie.
Yeah, probably mad at us. And that's okay.
Yeah, they might be like, you know what? You guys are fucking dumb. But
he's awesome. He has little knives. He's bald. Necromongers.
The Necromongers. Like, again, if you enjoy this movie, kudos. I give you a lot of respect. But at the end of the day, for the first time watching it, this is a piece of crap. I would never watch this movie again. It's not good at all. So with that said, Nate, what is your total points?
A 12 out of a 25.
Well, mine is a 10 out of a 25.
Well, you know, sometimes it just bees like that. What do you get? It Richard bees like that. You know, it is what it is. I've always said I like Pitch Black better than this movie. Even without remembering this, I knew I liked it better. So when I rewatch it, I was not surprised. I was like, this is why I don't watch this movie. And why did I buy it? I was mad. I got rid of it as soon as I could.
Yeah, no, I don't blame me. And I will say this, like, if you own the Arrow 4K, I like the slipcover. It's a very nice slipcover. Like, they did a great package. Yeah, great.
Tons of features. I mean, an insane amount of special features. 3 cuts. Like, it has director's cut, theatrical cut, and then like an alternate aspect ratio cut. Yep. Like, cool. If you love this movie, get that. But only if you love it, because if you don't, just get like Alex and get that little 3-pack that has all 3, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, the transfers on the 3-pack Blu-ray, not that good. But that's at the end of the day, if you want it in your collection, I will opt out for the Blu-ray and don't spend $49 on it. It's expensive. Yeah, I totally agree. Anyway, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Oh, all right. Well, next up, we're continuing on with Chuck Norris month. 3 movies I've never seen. This next one will be The Delta Force, arguably his most famous. It's like this and Missing in Action. Those are like the two that I always hear. So we'll be covering that. And then we'll be wrapping up the Riddick trilogy as it is right now with Riddick, just called Riddick. And I'll give you a little sneak preview, Alex. Riddick is way more like Pitch Black than it is like Chronicles. So do with that what you want. It's like a monster movie, but it's got more like cool characters and stuff like that. So very similar to the first, not similar to Chronicle. Chronicles is like the redheaded stepchild that's just like weird. And then they were like, let's go back to the first movie. And that's how it is.
Let's go back to
the first movie. I think you will like it. I don't know if you'll love the movie, but I think you'll like it better than this one.
All right. Well, we will see next week when we review it. All right. Well, with that said, you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts. Please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episode. And of course, you could take the Action Movie Guys podcast on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast. Not on the go, but
I'm reading myself. Your house, wherever you are, you can listen to it.
Yeah, you can follow, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Again, you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Geeks, the letter N, Flix. Other than that, I'm your host, Az Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.